Second hour here, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.2 The Game. And The Game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I'm Joe Rex. Nick Keezer's producing. Intern Brandon is in the house. And Paul Kaharski in for new father, Robbie Stanley.
I'm here courtesy of Nashville Grass 365, locally owned and operated for nearly 10 years. We love local businesses. Check out amazing examples of their work on Instagram at grass365_Nashville. That's Instagram at grass365_Nashville.
Now, before we get to our next guest, I got someone on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, who says, Kaharski's Stillman voice sounds a lot like Joe's Kaharski voice.
This is my when I talk about Paul Kaharski, when he talks about Jared Stillman, then who does that voice?
That like, sounds like Joe Pesci.
It's a, yeah. Well, you sound more like Joe Pesci than you realize. So we'll let Jared weigh in on this. Jared Stillman, 2-6 here on 102.5, 106 of The Game. Stillman and Company. Jared, how are you, pal?
I'm good. I'm on the Nashville Grass Instagram page right now.
Thank you.
Am perusing because I could actually, this is going to sound crazy, but I actually, over the last 2 weeks of hearing Paul tell me about Nashville Grass every 5 minutes.
Nashville Grass 365.
Thank you. I've actually thought, you know, there are some spots where I could probably use a little turf as opposed to grass. And so now when you brought up the Instagram, now I'm looking at it. So thank you for that.
Paul, excellent. It works, Paul. It works.
Excellent. The magic of advertising. We are looking for someone to sponsor my weekly spot with Robbie and Rex Rhodes. So Nashville Grass 365 is invited. Everyone's invited.
There we go. Now, Jared, we have a lot of things we'd like to get to with you. But let's start with your Tannehill idea. You think Ryan Tannehill should be playing this preseason?
I do. I think that with the new offense, I think as many reps as they can get, it's going to take time. And I don't think week one against New Orleans, like that the Titans' offense is going to be quote-unquote ready. Now, the good news is Derek Carr's learning a new offense too. And in week two, Justin Herbert's learning a new offense. And I think these things take time, like Dak Prescott struggling at Cowboys camp right now because they're learning a new offense. And so I see the opportunity for Ryan Tannehill against the Bears to probably get, you know, 12, 13 snaps, something like that. And I think that he and the offense could use the 12 or 13 snaps. I think that when it comes to the offensive line and they need the snaps, it'll be different with him making the checks at the line of scrimmage and things like that than Malik Willis. So I think, again, this offense is not in a spot where I don't think they need the extra credit or the practice. So I would give Tannehill, you know, 13 snaps, one series, two series, whatever, you know, that ends up being. But I would play him just because I think they need the practice.
After seeing this pocket collapse on him in practice, you're like, yeah, let's see that in a game where he can actually be tackled.
I mean, he can't play football scared. He's going to get tackled at some point.
Yeah, he's going to get tackled at some point, but reduce the chances for him to get hurt. I think it's fine to play the offensive line with Malik. Next week you can play the offensive line with Will Levis. Look, the offense is changed, but they know the offense. He knows the offense, and it's fine to unveil it in week one. They're not going to run the intricacies of the new offense in a preseason game anyway. All that's happening behind closed doors. And in terms of not playing in the preseason, last year versus the Giants, he had his third best game of the season. He threw for 266 and touchdowns, had a 106.4 rating. It'd be fine to debut him in the season opener, which is what I expect they will do.
No, I expect that they'll do that too. I do understand, like, I'm not saying Joe's point yesterday was wrong about the fact that if Tannehill goes out there, he may get killed because his offensive line's so bad. But I just believe that, like, last year and the year before that, I felt like the tie, especially the year before that with the Arizona game. Now, they got COVID, so I think that probably slowed a lot of things up. You know, the coach got COVID and Tannehill got COVID and everything else. But it felt like they were completely unprepared for that Arizona Cardinal game. And I don't think that this team is in a spot where they can come out completely unprepared to start the season, given the fact that Jacksonville might be formidable in the AFC South. And there's a lot of games early that I would consider toss-up games that they could win.
Do you believe the Illuminati control the world, that 9/11 was an inside job and that the CIA killed JFK?
No, but I'm starting to think that we may have a new world order.
What? Why? Do you? I'm guessing. I'm praying the answer is no here, and I'm fully expecting the answer is no. Are you familiar with Occam's Razor?
No.
Okay, this is something you should read up on this afternoon and learn immediately. Occam's Razor says that the simplest explanation is usually the right explanation. So why this would take an hour off your show a day, I understand. But why can't Mike Vrabel simply have come up with the idea of letting Terrell Williams coach this game and then let Terrell Williams coach this game? I mean,
Jared promises that's not the case.
The Super Bowl is baked into the cake with a new stadium. Name me a new stadium that hasn't gotten a Super Bowl. Like, why would a small thing like a minority coach getting to coach a preseason game be an ingredient in a Super Bowl recipe for a multi-billion-dollar stadium?
So then why is Hard Knocks a recipe for a Super Bowl in multi-billion-dollar stadiums?
I don't think it is, and if it is, it's a teeny tiny ingredient. Who got a Super Bowl because they weren't on Hard Knocks?
Well, who was on Hard Knocks and who did get Super Bowls? Because the Rams and the Chargers were on Hard Knocks and
Dude,
they got a Super
if
Bowl.
You, if, you
were,
think that the on, LA Stadium, come on, if you Jared. Think the LA Stadium was but not getting doing, a Super Bowl without doing Hard Knocks, you're insane. You do believe the Illuminati runs the world.
Off the top of my head, I think the last team that has hosted a Super Bowl that wasn't on Hard Knocks, like within the previous four seasons before that, in some form or another, was the San Francisco 49ers when they had the Super Bowl in like 2015.
So you're making a huge disconnect here. The new stadium might be connected to Hard Knocks, but a new stadium is getting a Super Bowl, period. Period.
Well, Buffalo's not getting a Super Bowl.
Well, okay, let's go in the hemisphere, in the proper hemisphere, you're getting a Super Bowl. Buffalo is, close to the North Pole.
There is some truth to that. I mean, I think that the Titans, when you want favors from the league, you have to do favors to the league. And
this was in the works 4 years ago, and the league helps build stadiums. So, you think 4 years ago they said, hey, in 2023, we want you to have a minority head coach take care of the first game of the preseason. If you do that, that really sweetens the pot for us. We'll be a go.
Jared, you had an awful take, and this is an example of you rather than digging in and like trying to argue around it, which is stupid. Just admit it was dumb. Everybody says dumb stuff sometimes.
So
it's okay.
I want to go back to Paul's point about Occam's Razor. I feel misunderstood is I wasn't saying that is for sure.
But you're promising that obvious thing
that I do believe. I do not believe
really.
That Mike
Why?
Vrabel.
Because he's dumb?
No.
Not smart enough to come up with it?
I don't believe that Mike Vrabel just decided on a whim that he was going to make.
It wasn't a whim. He gave him assistant head coach in the offseason too, Jared. I think this is kind of a trend, isn't it? That he respects and wants to help Terrell Williams.
And his assistant coaches.
Then why isn't any other assistant coach getting to
I mean,
coach
again, not, so now I'm going game? To say other words to try to dig well, in because sent, it, they're stupid.
He sent Tony Dews to the accelerator program twice. He's helping him. He moved him to tight ends, which is a better position. He's sent a couple of his head coaches on to a couple of his assistant coaches on to head coaching jobs.
Yeah, come on, man.
He helped LaFleur. He helped Smith.
You know what my
he's
favorite thing is?
Did he help LaFleur? I thought he hated LaFleur.
Okay.
Whether he liked him or not, he facilitated him getting a head coaching job. He knew he was going to be a short timer.
You know what my favorite
thing
is?
He knows London's going to be a short timer.
So, Jared, this is plainly obvious what happened here. And you're like, oh, it's got to be something else. I promise you it's not that. And yet, let's go back to when the Mike Mularkey podcast happened about how they completely disregarded the Rooney Rule, as everybody in that building knows, happened, right? And he decided to talk about it. And you went and found a Steve Underwood interview in which he's like, well, it was a really close, it was a tough decision with this coaching hire. And you actually presented that as some kind of evidence, like, I don't know, guy. He said, she said, I don't know. I mean, think about the contrast of that.
Well,
and
that wasn't what Underwood said, but.
What did he say?
Underwood said that Amy sat in the meetings and really thought about each individual candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you believe
and
that.
And you were like, oh, I don't know. Let's play this.
Is that before there was any sort of accusation made that Underwood said exactly what the Titans were claiming at the time, And so I just entered that into evidence. I mean, I don't think the Titans were ever considering hiring Ray Horton, not because they're racist, but because Ray Horton was a terrible coach.
Is the FDA withholding a cure for cancer?
Is the FDA, what are you talking, oh, like a conspiracy theory here?
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how deep of a conspiracy theorist you are.
Are there dog men roaming the woods of America?
I'm not the one who went and worked for Fox.
I mean, working for Fox is a sin. I mean, Fox movies and Fox television show. Are the Simpsons people bad people? I admit I made a bad decision, and I got out of it. You go ahead and admit something now.
I would say this. Like I said at the beginning of this.
You had a bad take. Just admit it.
It's not a bad take.
Where I feel misunderstood
is I feel like there is some other, like, I think there's something behind this that
Why?
Is not as simple as you guys Why? Are making
Why?
It out to be.
Why?
Have to be? Because this is not something that Vrabel would do. In fact,
no,
last
it's
time,
not true.
Vrabel got COVID during the 2021 preseason. He made Stretch, his assistant, the acting head coach, because he didn't want to disrupt anybody else and their coaching.
It's another one of his guys.
Things have changed.
It's another one of it's also another one of his guys who he wanted to promote and wants to help advance. There's a lot of people who fall into that category, and just like PK laid out for you, he's actually done a lot of things along those lines. This is not at all some departure from what Mike Vrabel. It's a unique idea, which I think will be copied.
Other than the fact that it's the exact opposite of what he did last time. So we're
the exact opposite.
Last time was a while ago.
You're talking about what he did for Matt LaFleur.
I mean, you're just taking it places it doesn't go. Let me bring up something else. I think it's a trick that you use that is insincere. We played a promo of you earlier where you were saying, if Mike Vrabel said to me that the offensive line was going to be okay, you know, it would change your opinion and stuff. Don't you think when you say, if Mike Vrabel said to me, you're indicating that you have private conversations with Mike Vrabel? I just want to get on the record here. How often do you have private conversations with Mike Vrabel?
Not very often, but I don't think I'm pretending that I do.
All right, I just wanted to get it on the record.
Okay.
Why does that matter?
Why does it matter? Because I think you're indicating to your listeners that you do have private conversations with Mike Vrabel. I just wanted to be clear.
Do you think that, Joe?
You don't.
I don't know that I would take that from that particular sound, but this is why Stilly and Pauly have a certain kind of magic that other people just can't recreate. You know?
I mean, I like Vrabel. I don't know if Vrabel likes me, but I would say that I've never claimed that we're besties and that we have.
I didn't say you were besties. I said it sounds like you're having conversations with
anything like that. Like,
see how you take things and you change them into things that they weren't. I wanted to get back to your challenge to me. I said I didn't want to do.
Jared, an hour solo, Paul?
Yeah, I said I couldn't and wouldn't, and I don't. I think it's an echo chamber for one guy to do radio for 4 hours. You took that as a huge victory, me saying it, and you said that meant that I was saying you were more talented than I was. You spin it into something it wasn't. That's fine if you want to take that as a victory, but you said, when somebody's playing basketball with you, there aren't enough shots to go around. So I wanted to take this basketball analogy because I find it very funny to imagine you playing basketball. Because I think if you were playing basketball, the coach would very quickly put you on the bench because you wouldn't play any defense, right? Wouldn't you be a chucker at basketball? You'd be a guy that throws up a bunch of jump shots. Like you said, you're going to get your shots. And you're not going to be a good teammate. Like you said, you don't want teammates. You just want to be out there shooting.
What?
All right. Hold on. Jared, come back for another segment, and we'll get back into the Titans, too. You can think about that for a minute.
Sure.
All right. We'll be back.
That was clear.
With more Jared Stillman on Robbie and Rex Show. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You'd be the acting coach for this opener.
You know, he kind of mentioned something about 2 weeks ago. He said, hey, we're going to expand on this role kind of in passing. And I was like, okay. And then maybe about a week ago, he said, I want you to take over and run the team for this football game. And I was excited, obviously. I mean, just to be in front of the group and take control of everything, I think it's a big honor. And I think Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit. All right. He deserves a lot of credit. not just for doing this for me, but I think around the league, hopefully more coaches will give assistant coaches opportunities to do this, because there's no, like, you got all these different programs, but there's nothing more better than actually getting the experience, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for doing that.
As Terrell Williams yesterday at his press conference talking about Mike Vrabel's decision, unaware that it's all part of a huge NFL conspiracy per our investigative reporter, Jared Stillman. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here. Nick Keyser producing, intern Brandon and Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley. And Jared Stillman on the line.
Jared Stillman's considering getting a bocce or croquet area in his backyard. He can do that with Nashville Grass 365. He's looking at the Instagram account, grass365_Nashville. He can also go on the internet to nashville.grass365.com, and I'll leave it to you to imagine a bocce or croquet party at Shea Stillman.
Not only am I on the Instagram account, Paul, I have followed the Instagram account.
Terrific. There's some good stuff on there, isn't there?
No, I mean, there's a lot of things that I probably can't afford that look pretty sweet in backyards that I don't have room for, but yeah.
You make the big bucks. Let's not pretend that you're not.
Yeah, let's not downgrade the Stillman Estate. Come on now.
Stillman Estate, the Stillman Cash, the Stillman Fund. I'll leave the basketball analogy and chalk that up as a loss. Why do you call it Hot Take Friday when all you do are hot takes all the time, every show? Like, what makes Friday special? Is the burner on the temperature of the heat higher?
Well, Fireball pays money in order to be the sponsor of Friday, and if somebody else wanted to pay money to be sponsor of the takes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I'm sure that, you know, we'd be very interested in discussing that.
Does Fireball not realize that Friday is the same as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
Did I just
spoil things?
So my envision for the show, like when I first started doing it, like, you know, eons ago for Friday was to basically...
Eons ago. The guy's been... How long you been on the radio, Jared?
8 years.
Yeah, the eons.
8 years here, which is a long time. But my envision was that Friday would just be like, you know, people calling in with like really strong takes that day. And then I realized very quickly that doing that led to like people calling in about Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. And I don't feel like those kind of things are really worth... I really don't think that that's worth like... people calling in and talking about on the radio. So it really morphed into just every other day, but we're so proud that Fireball's been with us every step of the way, and it is Friday. And so if you've got a big celebration this weekend or something, I tell everybody, be the person that's got Fireball at their party and do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy.
Good plug.
Okay, Jared. So are you, your homerism, I mean, I joke about WHMR, but I mean, we all know Jared is like, actually Jared likes the word Bobo, and Jared is absolutely the main Bobo.
What is a
in town.
Bobo?
Well, it's like another word for Homer, right? But Jared's homerism is panicky. Like he like gets panicky, right? Like panicky. So right now, Jared, are you more on the, I can see 12 wins for this team, or more on the, oh my God, the offensive line's so bad, it's going to be terrible. Like, where, or I know you kind of go back and forth on that.
So, I mean, I'm not backing off of what my expectations were for the season, but at the same time.
Remind us.
Yeah, no, I didn't memorize.
12-5.
Yeah.
But I.
Pom-poms.
No, I mean.
Getting Vrabel's autograph during the season?
This is a scientific method that we went through. Games that we split into separate categories. Games they will win. Games they should win. Toss-up games. And then games that they should lose and that they will lose. And I just, there's too many games on their schedule that they will win or should win when they play the quarterbacks that they're playing this year with all these rookie quarterbacks, and the, instead of the NFC East last year, they're playing the NFC South. I mean, I do feel like there's a lot of games, like they should beat the Atlanta Falcons at home. And so there's a lot of games where once, I think Adam Vingan, like when the schedule came out and I said something around 11 wins, he said that I was a total homer, and then he did it himself and he came back with 10 wins. And so the schedule is much better than it was last year, where the team had to play every single elite quarterback. That being said, I have a boatload of anxiety about this offensive line. I figured going into training camp that there's no way the offensive line could be worse than it was last year. And while I still think that it should be better than it was last year because it was so bad last year, I am no longer living on the there's no way it could be worse, or that there's almost no way that it could be the same.
Well, the concern's more spread out this year, where last year it was more targeted, particularly the left tackle. I feel like it's more spread out. I mean, left tackle's going to be better.
Well, this time last year, we thought Luan was going to play season.
But before that, I went back on your Twitter a bit, and you had written
some more investigation.
You had written that you believe this was early August, so maybe things have adjusted. You tell me. You wrote that you believe Rand Carthon had converted to being pro Ryan Tannehill. I'm curious, when was he anti-Ryan Tannehill, and what suggests to you that Carthon's opinion of Ryan Tannehill really matters much?
So I'm not Christian, but I'm also not anti-Christian. And so when Ryan Tannehill, or when Rand Carthon took the job, I don't think he was anti-Ryan Tannehill, but I think that his assessment of Ryan Tannehill before he took the job probably fell in line with the general consensus that Ryan Tannehill's not good and can be replaced. And I think that they probably looked around at like, okay, let's kick around ideas. But the more he was around Tannehill, and I think Kirk Cousins has this effect on a lot of people too, the more he was around Tannehill, the more he liked Tannehill, the more he saw the good in Tannehill when he watched all the tape on the Titans. I'm sure he noticed that last year a lot of the problems weren't Tannehill's. And so I think what Rand Carthon's done is he's looked at it and said, you know, look, Tannehill's not Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, but he's certainly not, you know, a terrible quarter. He's not Case Keenum. And so I think that, like, he has converted his thinking from where a lot of people just think he sucks or he shouldn't be the quarterback or Will Levis should play over him or even Malik Willis should play over him, just because that's what a lot of people want to believe, to the way that Mike Tannenbaum, who used to be Tannehill's GM, felt about him, to the way that I think John Robinson felt about Tannehill, and now to the way that I feel like Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel feel about Ryan Tannehill.
Well, why are you talking like Rand Carthon would have any control over anybody playing over Ryan Tannehill when Mike Vrabel is clearly completely in charge of this team? If Rand Carthon went in and said, I don't like Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel would have been like, yeah, so?
So you think that Vrabel is clearly in charge and that on the organizational flow chart it is Vrabel and then a line and then Carthon?
Yeah, sure, seeming more and more that way.
Even though they told us that that's not the case.
So now you're going to take the Titans
but you're the one that's saying that I have to accept what the Titans are saying.
Not all the time, but when things are clearly put in practice.
When a particular thing is obvious, go ahead and
What makes it so obvious to you that Vrabel is ahead of Rand Carthon in the decision-making process?
Well, do you see the way he acts? Do you see like things like departments that used to be, I got to be somewhat vague, departments that used to report to John Robinson, who was a powerful GM, don't report to John Robinson now. They report to Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's running the Titans.
All right.
I kind of want to know more about some of these departments.
Yeah. I just want to tell both of you, first of all.
Also, and Joe pointed this out, and I thought it was symbolic of this. When they cut Jamarco Jones, Mike Vrabel didn't say, Rand and I had a meeting and we decided. He said, yeah, I did what's best for
the team. He confirmed why he got rid of him, which I don't think he does previously. But regardless, I just want to tell you both, two straight weeks now, you've both brought me great joy. I want to thank you both. The text line is blowing up with a lot of people who appreciate this. We don't have time to get into this, but I do want to read Sean real fast. He says, please ask Stilly about his claim this week that he's the most talented radio personality in the market. But you cannot. We're just going to let that hang in the air, Jared. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Everyone should call him Stilly. For my two weeks here, that is the one thing that needs to be lasting. Call him Stilly.
Do you like Stilly? Are you good with Stilly?
Before you read that text, did you guys not think that I thought that?
I think you're the most talented radio person in the country. And I think that you think that being on Sirius XM is a huge deal.
Huge.
I checked their Twitter account.
How huge is it?
They've got fewer followers than I do.
Twitter.
National radio outlet.
Twitter.
All right. I love you guys. And Jared, thank you for being a good sport again. We got to go to
the
break.
Is this the last one of these? Is Robbie back next week?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of people begging us to, you know, try to make this happen.
I would think he'll be back by Friday. So if a sponsor reaches out and wants to set this up weekly, I'm available for pay.
With boxing gloves. But thank you, Jared. Have a good show today. And we'll be back on Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today, 6:05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download the Superbook app today and use promo code THEGAME. Welcome back into Robbie and Rexrode. Here at 125-106 through the game, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser producing, and we got Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley.
I am sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. If your dogs are digging up the grass or rolling in the mud, consider a turf play area with superior drainage. Head to nashville.grass365.com.
And join us on, of course, the text line and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. It blew up again during Stilly and Pauly, during the pilot episodes of Stilly and Pauly. And largely, mostly I'd say, it's mostly like pro PK. There is some go Jared over PK, but the overwhelming sentiment is basically this is a lot of fun and give us more of this. I do have one text. God, there's so many texts that I'm losing the text, okay? One text. So this is the best thing on radio. Grilling Stillman is hilarious. Good work, PK and Rex. Okay, here's a text. Unnamed texter says, Jared is allowed to have his takes on any subject. There are people you can trust with their takes and people you can't. Jared just happens to be a person you can't trust. So
that's well said.
Yeah.
Listen,
Jared has a lot of takes. I agree with. I agree with, I bet you 70% plus.
22%.
22? No. If you actually, I probably listen to Jared more than you do. I don't listen like a ton, but I listen enough.
I just don't know how.
It's an entertaining show. He is very talented. Jared's good. Jared's good, Paul.
He's good at setting things up and getting you to anticipate what he says. Then when he says it, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I stayed for that.
If I have to pivot to defending Jared, I will. Let me just hit this a little bit because people are seriously reacting big time. You guys are nuts if you don't find a way to bring back Stilly versus Pauly. Best thing on sports radio in Nashville in a long time. Let's feed your egos.
Listen.
My God. Not like your ego doesn't need some deflation. Good Lord.
Again, sponsorship opportunities out there for you. I'm sure Jared would be willing. I'm willing if we could find a sponsor to find time to do that. And we're looking to expand my weekly one segment spot on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock into an hour, and we're looking for a sponsor for that. So there's my advertising, looking for advertising. Come. You can text, tweet me at Paul Kaharski NFL, or you know how to find the game at 1025 The Game. Come running. Be first in line.
Will from Nashville says, Joe, thank you for giving PK bleep about his huge pronunciation. You're welcome, Will. Here's another thing. Well, I wanted to get to this early. I want to jump on this too. I'm kind of surprised that you go along with this narrative, PK. So Will also says, by the way, the media stuff way overblown by some. I've heard many times, oh, wait till Aaron Rodgers gets to New York City. He'll crumble in front of that media.
No, he's not going to crumble in front of any media.
Yeah. I just, the whole, look, I understand that obviously the press corps in, I think the Detroit press corps is a pretty representative. It's bigger. There's a lot. I mean, we've had over the years some very, very, you know, critical voices and a wide range of different things. So, like, I can look at that and see the difference between that and this. And I understand New York and Philly. They're huge markets. And I think what happens is you have, well, if you fancy yourself, kind of like Stilly. Like, oh, I'm the guy who asks tough questions.
I'm out there every day. Stilly's not out there every day. Here's what I'll say.
I understand, but hold on. So I think that there are more people like that. But my point here with Nashville media, because it's always like mild-mannered. The questions that need to get asked in this market get asked, and they get asked by a variety of people. And so if it doesn't become screaming every other day, some people – you know, think it's deficient, and I just reject that. I think that's ridiculous.
I don't think it's deficient necessarily. I think that Mike Vrabel intimidates plenty of people who won't then ask anything. There are plenty of people out there that are soft. I won't go into a naming thing right now.
I'm shocked.
But very few people, I will say, will push back. If he comes after you for asking something, most people shrink. And I don't shrink. I'll get into a dialogue with him and push back.
I'm trying
to. Well, you said it, you know, whatever. There will be an exchange back and forth between me and him. I don't know that other people, when he puts you in your place, will go back at him over something, and I will. And I have done that with every coach that's been here.
Sure, and that's great, okay? But
he's not going to intimidate me out of a line of questioning. Well, now, your lines of questioning and my lines of questioning are often different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've asked Vrabel questions that ticked him off and came back with a follow up. I mean, like about the defense a few years ago, whatever. Everybody has their. Glennon got him so mad about like the Zach Cunningham thing, and he kept asking the question because it's like he's just on the roster. I know you don't want to talk about him, but like, how do I not ask the question about Zach Cunningham right now when I have to write something?
And
about
he had
him.
My backing, but Glennon, who's one of my best friends, also regularly whispers at the press conference and can't be heard. So I don't know that Glennon's your best example.
Well, Glennon is a good example because just because he doesn't constantly, you know, badger someone doesn't mean that he's afraid or shrinking. I mean, I'm trying to think now your example of who here has shrunk when Vrabel has glowered at them. Like who? Give me an example of someone when Vrabel, like, gets mad about something and they're like, okay, Mike, and just, like, crawls into a corner. I haven't seen – like, some people don't ask the questions. That's fine. But, like, I can't think of that. You got an example? Or are you just, like, throwing that out?
Well, you're putting me in position now to do a names thing. You won't name a damn TV company that's a multi-million dollar thing. I've got myself in a lot of bad situations with the media here by naming names. I'm now in a situation where I'd like to be on the radio again. And you want me to rattle off a bunch of names and get myself in a hole again. Where I'm not in a good position to be doing that right now. So I'm going to pass on it on this occasion.
I've decided I'm going to be soft on this segment, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of being soft. You can go to all you like. But this is not the time or place for me to engage in it right now. But it's a fact.
It's a fact. I mean, you can tell me during the break then.
I certainly will rattle off a list for you.
Yeah, but your list, I'll be like, okay, give me an example. And you won't have an example.
Oh, I will. Let's go to break, Nick. Now a word from our sponsors.
And by the way, on the text line, there are people saying, inquiring about sponsoring segments. So that's good to see. And also,
are they giving you their numbers or are we going to lose touch with them?
Their numbers are on here.
Oh, good. Well, take them down. I see you as fully capable as a guy who has a non-functioning mouse and has often had a plug-in keyboard to his laptop of losing this gold mine of information that we're getting right now.
I think that now, someone says, so now Paulie has personal conversations with Vrabel. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
You don't know what I have or what I don't have, but there's a lot more to the beat than the press conferences. For a serious beat writer, there's a lot more to the beat than the press conferences than you watch. And, Joe, I would invite you to share that with
people. Yeah, no. Well, and that is also a difference in the job, frankly. I mean, to be fair, I think if you're a writer covering a team in particular – yeah, as a beat, like it's the team you cover, yeah, then you need to have conversations with a lot of people that aren't at press conferences that are off the record that never see the light of day or else you aren't good at your job.
Thank you.
I mean, that's I think should be pretty obvious. Meantime, we got PK sufficiently lathered up, and coming up next, it's a PK rant. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You guys have officially made me lose my marbles! This is a nightmare! When will you learn? When will you learn that your actions have consequences?
Dude, we gotta get rid of that. What the heck is that again? What is that? It's so annoying.
It's a meme. It's supposed to piss you off, Joe.
But I don't get it. I don't understand what's there's no content. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what you're saying.
It's okay. You're an old man. You didn't watch Vine growing up. It's okay.
Vine. Yeah, I didn't, and I never will. Welcome back in, does Robbie and Rex. Show. What's that?
Does it exist?
Vine does not. Now it's TikTok, basically.
All right. That's right. It's Vine, which is now TikTok. Okay, Robbie and Rex Road, welcome back in. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can watch us stream live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download the app today. Use promo code THEGAME. I'm Joe Rex Road. Paul Kaharsky is here for Robbie Stanley.
And I'm ready to rant.
Okay, and Paul Kaharsky has a rant.
So, this is courtesy of TMZ, which people make fun of, but it's never wrong. And they do track down people. And they tracked down Orenthal James Simpson, who had some thoughts on Henry Ruggs' sentence. Henry Ruggs got 3 to 10 years in the death of Tina Tintor and her dog. He drove over 155 miles an hour drunk, killed the 23-year-old woman and her dog, but got this sentence, 3 to 10 years. I don't understand it either. I don't understand the big gap, the 7-year gap, and I don't understand how it could be as little as 3 years. But you know whose opinion I'm not interested in on the sentence? O.J. Simpson, who said, I know I went to college on a football scholarship, but somehow this math is not adding up to me. You're driving a car at roughly 160 miles an hour on a public street and end up killing a girl and her dog, and you get 3 to 10 years? You know what math didn't add up to me? When O.J. Simpson killed his ex-wife and her boyfriend and got 0 years. That was the math that was really upsetting to me. Now, I know he got some years for his fraudulent stuff.
Burglary.
Stole back his memorabilia. And there was some justice there that he at least got some jails.
It was an over sentence on that. Right.
Yeah, good. Pay him back for the jury nullification that happened. But this guy is so not self-aware. His investigation into finding the real killer takes him 7 times a week to a golf course. And I've heard stories.
I mean, he's written a book that basically admitted
it. Yeah, If I Did It, which is it should have just been I Did It. I've heard stories and seen some stuff of him in airports where people flock to him for autographs and selfies and stuff. And I would love, love, love to walk by this at an airport where I would cause a scene that I hope would wind up on TikTok, where I would shout at the people getting his autograph and taking selfies with him about, you excited to be there with a murderer? You're going to post that on Facebook, your picture with the murderer? You think Nicole's family is going to enjoy seeing that picture of you smiling with the murderer? I just do not get it. And for him to comment on this.
This would be an effective use of your personality in society. Like, this would be a good way to deploy PK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would take a sponsor to send me on a hunt for O.J. Simpson at an airport.
Hurts?
Yeah.
Hurts? It is like the, first of all, like, O.J. insisting on being in the public eye at all is gross. And also, I'm with you. Like, fame, just being famous doesn't matter why you're famous. You know, and obviously O.J. was famous before all of this. But just being famous is enough for people to just forget
everything.
Like morality, humanity. I mean, it is really gross. It is. Yeah.
I think I would
like you to be able to.
I mean,
be
if
in that
he
situation.
Started a business commenting on sentences, people might, you know, subscribe.
Who are some of the other famous people in society? I mean, like LD from Minville says, why is anyone watching or listening to OJ? Well, look, it's a good question, but the fact is, I see way too much, and I think media deserve a lot of blame here too. And I guess we could blame you right now for making this a rant, but. Like, people constantly are, like, tweeting what he's saying. It's
guess
like,
how
no,
many
I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear from this guy.
Guess how many Twitter followers he has.
I don't want to know.
878,000.
Yeah. Like,
why would you follow O.J. Simpson?
Think of some, who else do we have in society, like, just horrific, horrific people we know have done awful things, but they're famous, and so... you know, people still want to hear from them. I mean, I suppose, like, there's been a fascination for a long time with Charles Manson, right?
Yeah.
Like anything that happened with him, like a prison would be a big story. But, you know, that's probably more a media criticism. Anybody else come to mind? I'm sure there are other examples.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get good text.
But OJ I watched like the doc on him. Well, first of all, the doc with OJ, the documentary about it was
the
ESPN,
30 for 30.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a 5-part series. Well, I think one of the best documentaries ever made.
Yeah, very good.
And if you watch that documentary, by the way, because I know we have one listener who I've gotten into it with, he still believes OJ was innocent, you know. I'm like, did you watch that? His reasoning
Stilly,
being.
Stilly believes that also in his conspiracy theory list.
Good God. Someone just put. Austin just put on the text line a picture of him and OJ. OJ and his Titleist. Again, like, why?
Why?
Why do you want to go take. Yeah, I know he's famous, man. Like, you're going to, like, yeah, let's celebrate being in the company of this person.
Who's next? Sirhan? Sirhan? Who's on your list of people that you want to. Get with. And look, I'm looking at his Twitter account. I said how many followers he has. His Twitter account is all these selfie videos that he does talking, and they've all got close to 500,000 views, between 300,000 and 500,000 views. You're watching OJ deliver like little clips where he talks about the news of the day. What the hell?
It's just go away.
Don't do it. If you're doing it, really like give it some thought and consider stopping doing it.
Yeah, please. Although Austin does say, yes, I look terrified. Yes, but you took the picture with him. I've got people on the text lines, some saying Trump, some saying Clinton. So good. Let's turn everything into politics. Ray Lewis is some, you know, the Ray Lewis.
I interviewed Ray Lewis.
That is a very different situation than this one.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of uncertainty
unknown
with
about
that one.
Yes.
There really is no uncertainty with this one.
Agree entirely.
Good rant.
Thank you.
And when we come back, we're going to have Teron Davenport, TD, and get back into some Titans football. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.